The end of page Kuf Ches, Avamasha Pirush Ramban. So the morale, again, I'm not apologizing for the morale, and we don't understand. Even the little tagin, the little things about the crowns of his letters. But it sounds like there are things here that he already said, so we're going to move quickly. But he's sort of bringing it together. With some, you know, there are a little bit of changes, or not changes, there's something added, but it does sound like we've been here already, but we'll do it quickly. Now you recall that the Ramban disagreed with the Rambam's view. In that Gemara, the Rambam understands, he learns the Pshat in the Mitzvah of Shiloh HaKan, that the point is that Hashem does have Rachmim, even on these little birds. Hashem has compassion, so certainly he has compassion on human beings and so on. And the Ramban rejected that. And he says, Lomash Lachazakel al Kansipov Lahigir Rachmav al Esav al Benoisha, Ein Rachmav Megim, Bebali Nefesh, Bahamis, Lomnoimi Menet Sarchenu, Shemken Haya Oisav Ashchita. The Ramban said, if the point is, he's just reviewing, the Ramban said, if the point is that Hashem has such compassion on little birds, then why didn't Hashem make it forbidden to slaughter animals? Why would His rachmim, why would Hashem's compassion and mercy all of a sudden end when it comes to other creatures, other beings? So the Ramban himself holds that the Tam Hamaniel Lamados on Midas Rachman, the Ramban holds that the reason is not because of the compassion that Hashem has for the animal, but to teach us how to be compassionate. Right? To teach us how to be compassionate. Now, the problem that the morale doesn't disagree that the mitzvahs have the effect of making us more compassionate. He doesn't disagree. He just doesn't agree with how the Ramban learns this way in the Gemara. He doesn't feel it's the pshat in the Gemara. He doesn't feel that it's necessary. And now he's also concerned about this next sentence. Umidvarav eila mashma shedavka b'min balchai ein lomakach. In other words, what it sounds like from the Ramban is that Hashem is teaching us to be more compassionate, and therefore by having compassion and by us having compassion upon the bird, it's going to make us more compassionate. So it sounds like this is dafka by the min of a Baal Chai, that we shouldn't say what the Rambam said. What did the Rambam say? The Rambam said that the purpose of Shiloh HaKan, the mitzvah is that look, Hashem has such rachmanis on animals, right? Hashem is so compassionate. So the Ramban rejects that. But based upon the Ramban, he says, Aval ba'adam, he says, Kagon hat stalker, Evshaloim is Hashem ha'yim rachim al ha'ani. In other words, what he's saying is that we do see that by the animals, the Ramban's point is that by animals, for our personal needs, we are allowed to be cruel, so to speak. We are allowed to be cruel. In other words, we shecht animals. It's not nice. That doesn't teach us to be compassionate. So we are allowed to be cruel when it comes to animals as long as we need them. So now, the question is, but to a human being, right, so we're not allowed to be, b'chlal. In other words, The whole point is that he disagrees with the Rambam. What do you mean, Hashem has to say that Hashem has compassion to animals? But you see, we don't always have to be compassionate to animals. The Rambam's point was that the mitzvah teaches us to be compassionate. But rather that Hashem is compassionate, right, the animals. So he says, yeah, okay, that's the point of the mitzvah. But then, based upon that, when it would the Ramban's not disagreeing theoretically with the Rambam when it comes to human beings, right? With human beings. In other words, you might think that the Ramban does agree, that when it comes to human beings, tamei ha-mitzvahs, the reasons for mitzvahs in many, many things of human beings is what? Is that Hashem has compassion upon human beings. That's why He gave us the mitzvah. You follow? In other words, by the Ramban's whole disagreement with the Rambam is, what are you saying by animals, that Hashem has compassion on animals? So how come He doesn't have compassion on a cow, only on a bird? So it must be there's another reason. Right? But it seems that the Ramban would possibly agree with the Rambam that when it comes, let's say, to the mitzvah of charity, or the mitzvah of tzedakah, that he would agree that this reveals Hashem's compassion upon human beings. Right? He doesn't accept the Gemara because the Gemara is dealing with a bird. But with human beings, maybe maybe the Ramban would accept that view, that perhaps there, the point of giving tzedakah, the reason that Hashem, the reason that Hashem told us to give tzedakah is because Hashem has compassion, so to speak, upon the poor. So the Maral rejects that possibility. He says, perhaps according to the Ramban, you could say, maybe the reason for the mitzvah of giving tzedakah, we understand that the reason for the for sending out the bird is not because Hashem feels bad for the bird, because then Hashem would feel bad for an ox also, or a cow. So that's not it. So the Ramban develops that whole point of what? To make us more compassionate. But then, he says, but that doesn't necessarily mean that when it comes to mitzvahs related to human beings, that perhaps the Ramban doesn't accept the Rambam's view. That what? That the point of the mitzvah is all these mitzvahs of tzedakah and so on are what? Because Hashem feels for the ani. He feels bad for the poor person. That's why Hashem told us to give tzedakah, because perhaps there he does feel compassion for human being. Because by animals he could say this as far as, look, Hashem gave the animals for men. So Hashem gave this world to the human being to use. So therefore, over there, we understand that there's no inyan of Hashem being compassionate towards the animals. But maybe with human beings, that is the motivation of the mitzvah, to be compassionate, that Hashem's compassionate. Therefore, the morale says this has to be clearly rejected also. Ki ein midas hatzdaka derech achmanis. Hashem didn't tell us to give tzedakah because he feels bad for poor people. It's not because he feels bad for people. It's not only animals. This extends to human beings as well. This is not the point of the mitzvah, because Hashem feels bad for human beings. Ki kol ha-dvarim hem gzeiris ha-din. Everything is gzeiris ha-din. It's a decree, as we learned last week. V'lo mitzad ha-rachmim, shehu yisbarach marachim al ha-oni. Not because Hashem has compassion on the poor person. That doesn't mean, God forbid, that he doesn't have compassion on the poor person. We'll see in a moment. Ra-ki gozar ha-odam kach, sheyih ha-odam marachim. Hashem decreed that man be compassionate. Lo sheyi Hashem merachem al ha'ani. Not because Hashem felt bad for the ani. That's why he told us, you know, I feel bad. God forbid, as if Hashem is helpless. I can't help this guy. Maybe you could do him a favor. But tziva b'shvil kach sheyifarnes also ha'adam. Ki lo hibit al ha'ani mitzad dochko klal. The point is not that Hashem has looked upon the fact that this poor man is suffering or that he's oppressed. Now, that could shatter our belief in the kindness of Hashem. God forbid. This has nothing to do with our belief that Hashem is good and kind. Let's look at footnote 84. L'shono b'gur aryeh, reish parashas chukas. V'im kei mashet siv sa Torah, hi b'gzei rosa shal kadosh baruch hu ala mekayim ha-mitzvah. That the Torah told us to give tzedakah, it's not because Hashem felt bad for this guy. It's because Hashem decreed that we be kind. V'lo yabit el ha'oni u'nechei ruach, she'yeh mitzuva al nesines ha-tzedakah, k'dei she'yeh misparneis ha'oni. Ze'eino. That's not the point. Why? So he says, She'ein ha-mitzvah el-lo'isa ha-mitzvah. The point is not how this poor man is suffering. The point is that you have to do the right thing. Ava ha-mitzvah, Hashem nos lanok adosh baruch hu, kulam hem l'to'elas ha-mekayim ha-mitzvah. It's all for the purpose of the one who's performing the mitzvah. L'fichach hem kulam gzeiris, af osam she'hem rachmim. Even those mitzvahs that are compassionate, they are gzeiris, they are decrees. Now, throughout Tanakh, Hashem says, Hashem tells us that throughout Tanakh, that he loves the poor people and he cares for the poor people and he's always looking at the poor people and those who are of humble spirit and who are oppressed. Hashem is always looking out for these people. Shakadosh Baruch Hu ozer dalim, that Hashem helps the poor. Ein ha'inyan sheyeh b'shvil kach mitzvah l'adam lefarnes osam b'shvil shirochem al ha'ani. He says that's true, but that's the Baruch Shalom's business. It is true, but that's not why he gave us the mitzvah. It's true that the Baruch Shalom has his cheshem with poor people, but that's not why we were told to do this mitzvah. She'ein zekein elamashu hu ozer dalim amarachim Shakadosh Baruch Hu ba'atzma osel adalim levyon b'midas harachim. When Hashem wants to help a poor man, he takes care of that poor person, but in his own way, he might be somehow getting you involved in his shlichus to be a shlich to bring the money to the poor guy or to help the guy out. But to say that this is the mitzvah of tzedakah is because Hashem feels bad. Therefore, he tells you that you have to do this mitzvah because he feels bad. The moral says that's not true. What is true is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, certainly the mitzvah of Hashem is that he loves the poor and he cares for the poor. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, therefore, he does what he does to be a mefarnes and to be a merachim on the poor people. But as far as the mitzvahs are concerned, all of the mitzvahs are gzeiris, they're not rachimim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oseh Ba'atzmo Oseh Zeh L'dalim L'Avyonu Midas HaRachamim V'tziv HaKadosh Baruch Hu Midas HaDin L'Adam She'yelech V'drachim. And Hashem commanded us to go in His way, to do these actions, to be oisa, to be halach bedrachov, to go with halach bedrachov, to go in this way of Hashem. But it's not because Hashem, it doesn't mean that because Hashem felt bad, He told you to do this. Hashem wants us to go in these ways, and He was geyser upon us that we do these things. V'zeum igzeroso al ha'adam. V'lo nos nakash baruch ha'mitzvah li'yisrael atzad ha'rachamim al abris. Hashem didn't give the mitzvah because of feeling bad for people. Rachamim igzeros, v'vaday tam yesh b'chol mitzvah v'mitzvah. Certainly, there's a hidden, deeper reason for each and every mitzvah.
Once he says that at the end, I thought, in the end of the day, I know the morale is consistently saying he's disagreeing with the Ramban. But once he says that there is a tam in the mitzvah, the Ramban is not going to disagree with saying that that the purpose of the mitzvah was for the tam. The Ramban is saying, maybe I'm not holding the Ramban enough, but I always understood that the Ramban is saying you have to do the mitzvah because Hashem told us, yes, there will be an underlying reason also. So once you're saying there's a time for the mitzvah, how, maybe I'm not pinning the exact difference between the morale and the Ramban. Because once he says there's a time for the mitzvah, it sounds like at the end he's almost saying very similar to the Ramban.
But what the morale is saying is that the time, Elyon, of where the mitzvah comes from, is something that is not known to us. It's something that's hidden from us. The tam elyon, kivyochol. It certainly doesn't mean, the morale would never say that the gzeira is some sort of a random thing, God forbid. So everybody agrees. And
so what's the nakuda that they disagree?
The nakuda is, what is, in terms of our perception of what kivyochol is the reason that Hashem Yisbaruch told us to do this. Not a deeper, what is the reason that Hashem told us? And then from there you could darish as much as you like other reasons. The Ramban holds that the reason that Hashem told us to do this mitzvah is to make us into people who are more compassionate. That's the reason. And the morale is saying, as far as man is concerned, we don't have to speak of Hashem being motivated by any kivyachal, any emotion that would cause Him to give us this mitzvah, or any need kivyachal that would cause Him to give the mitzvah. The mitzvah is a gezeira, it's a decree, it's a decree that was given to man, so that when he performs the mitzvahs, he should know that he's mekayim mitzvahs hamelach, and that his reward is the result of that act of being an eved to Melech, not because he feels that he's doing something that is good, or he feels that he's doing something that is nice and it's compassionate and so on. The point is that a person has to be eved Hashem because it's a gzeiras haMelech. The Ramban, however, even though of course the Ramban agrees that there are many deeper reasons and so on, nevertheless, the Ramban is saying that this mitzvah came into existence in order to accomplish the following thing. The Maral doesn't accept that. The Maral can't accept that sentence, that this mitzvah came into existence, was given to man for the following purpose. All the Maral is saying is that the mitzvahs were given to man for man, but not to say that for this purpose, because once that happens, then people, as the Maral said, as we learned last week, then people already begin to think, listen, if that's the case, so then I don't agree with this particular situation. I don't feel that this is going to make me more compassionate. I don't think like this. I don't think like that. And therefore, the Maral is just coming. He's not disagreeing in principle, but he's coming to emphasize that the reason for the kiyum of the mitzvah is gzeiras hamelech. Zehu. That's the reason for the kiyum mitzvah, not because it makes me more compassionate. What's making me a better person is the fact that I'm a kayim de gzeres hamelech, not because it looks nice that I'm nice to people, but the kiyum of the gzera makes me closer to Hashem, makes me a greater Jew. Right. In other words, it's the fact that I'm a kayim de gzeres hamelech, right, which is the mice, as opposed to having this sort of emotion or mindset or having this compelling story behind the mitzvah. It's the gzeres hamelech. As a result of the gzeres hamelech, I'm mizdabek to the Creator.
I mean, the mice is almost irrelevant according to the morale. The mice according to Ramban is crucial, but according to The moral ruling is kosher to kill HaMitzvah.
Yeah, but the moral is going to say now, another problem the moral has with the Rambam is that we're going to be coming up also in the next parak. In the next parak, where the Rambam in the Moreh Nevuchim seems to be saying that the general mitzvah has a tam, has a reason. But as far as the specific details in the thousands of halachas, so the Rambam seems to be saying that doesn't necessarily have a tam. It's just it could be, the Rambam says, to be menaseh, to test the person and to perfect the person, but not that there's a deeper significance behind shechita min hatzavra as opposed to shechita min ha'orev. Not that there's a specific reason. So the morale is very upset about that. So there the tables are turned. And the morale goes into this whole thing about it's not true. Every single prat, every single detail, every single tiny little thing in each maise mitzvah has a sharish elyon. It has a higher root in the higher world. And every single movement of a Jew is causing something. Right? And the morale believed that this is the outcome of the Rambam's. Once the Rambam starts to make cheshbon, this was what was motivating Kivyachol, the master of the world, to give a mitzvah. So then the Rambam is ready. Then the morale felt. Now the Rambam could say that nothing motivated him, other than what, testing man, or putting us through these difficulties with all the details of halach in order to make us into better people, or so on. But as opposed to every single maaseh mitzvah having a shayrish, having a root in the higher world. And he's going to discuss this more. We'll see. So that Maral definitely says, there's no question that every single detail, every single little drabon, every single minig, has a shayrish in the highest place. But the reason, but ultimately, what causes us to be changed and to be affected by the mitzvahs is the fact that we're fulfilling these mitzvahs according to halacha. And those that the act, the maaseh hamitzvah, is what ultimately brings about the state of dveikus between a Jew and the Ribbono Shel Olam.
So the morale believes that both the Ramban and the Rambam don't fundamentally believe that the mitzvahs are gezeiros.
No, I think that it seems that the morale does accept the Ramban, but he thinks that the Ramban's words can be somewhat misleading. And I think that what he's trying to show is the oimik, perhaps, of the Ramban. I mean, he's trying to explain this in the Ramban. He's not trying to go completely away from the Ramban. So he definitely, as far as the Rambam is concerned, yes, the Maral feels that this is not, even though, of course, we have to do these things. I mean, the Rambam agrees these are halachas. Everybody agrees they're gzeiros hamelech. Nobody says they're not gzeiros. Of course we have to do
that. Is it possible that they're both talking on a more superficial level and the morale is coming and saying, let's go take a step back and remember this is.
You can say it that way. Okay, say it that way.
So is the morale saying that the Rambam and the Rambam are confusing cause and effect, or are they saying that they're not, but we're not understanding what they're really saying, or that they're missing?
You know, it's a little bit confusing in the morale. It seems that he's switching. So I can't say with absolute certainty. As far as the Rambam is concerned, he definitely has a disagreement, and he feels that there's a different approach. As far as the Ramban is concerned, I think that the morale understands that the morale really was coming from the same place that he's coming from. It's just that his interpretation of the Gemara and of this whole Indian could be somewhat misunderstood, and therefore he's coming to be mashlim the Ramban as opposed to rejecting the Ramban. That's what it sounds like in general. That's what it sounds like here.
The Ramban says that there's a different tam behind every mitzvah, or just says generally all the mitzvahs have the tam to make us better and more compassionate.
He has different tamim, but that's a major theme. It's a major theme in the Ramban, right?
I was just thinking, like, practically, the Ramban would hold that if I give staka to a shul, like that might not be mahor rachamim because not a person, and therefore it's not really.
Who, the morale?
The Ramban.
Oh,
you say something like that? I mean, like, giving tzedakah to a shul in contrast to a person might not really be...
That would be ma'orah, or different... You know, whatever is in the gather of tzedakah, obviously, would arouse and would awaken a different level of compassion. So this would be a compassion on the tzibur, or on the community, or a sense of achrayis, responsibility for the tzibur, which is a very positive emotion that the Torah wants us to have, a feeling of responsibility for other Jews. So, and the Ramban Keseda learns like that. Keseda, that's how he learns the mitzvahs. Keseda.
But But the Rambam in that situation would say it doesn't matter. The distinction between giving tzedakah to one place versus giving tzedakah to another all falls under the tame of the tam of tzedakah.
Well, it would fall under the category of God's concern. This is Hashem's concern for mankind, his concern for the community, his concern for the individual, and so on. That's the Rambam's view, which the Maral can't accept. Again, not that Hashem doesn't care, as we see, but that's between the Baruch Shalom and his world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's relationship with the world is certainly one that's described throughout Tanakh and throughout Chazal as being filled with love, compassion, and care. But like we just learned from this Guraya, that's not the point of why we were commanded to do these things. Because, as I've been explaining the last few weeks, we realize that that could be a very dangerous, that has the seed of something very dangerous in it. That's what the Maral is concerned with. Besides that he feels it's not emes, it's not the truth. But it could be very, very dangerous once human beings begin to see the mitzvahs as being homeocentric, you know? That the human being is in the center, and the human being, in other words, there's a danger to that, because then it's a question of well, then how do I feel about this? Or as we've been learning the last few weeks, what does this do for me? Or it doesn't do for me. So it's a gzeiras melech, and what it does for you is, by you obeying the gzeiras melech, you become like him, kivyachol, and that dveikus, that attachment of being like him. Of being like him is the ultimate purpose of man's existence. Being as much as being as godlike as possible. And that takes place not because you feel a certain way, but it takes place because you're acting a certain way. And therefore Hashem decreed that we act like him. Not that we, and our concern with the Maral is basically saying is, as far as how I feel, I would suggest to mind your own business. But in Tanakh, it has been revealed about how Hashem feels about the poor people, right? But that's not why I want you to do this mitzvah. You need to do this because I am making a decree upon you to act like me, to act in the way that I've said is the proper way to act. Not because I'm appealing to your emotions or I'm appealing to your sense of compassion and dignity and so on. I'm not appealing to you in that respect. You read about me in Tanakh and you understand where I'm coming from. But why you do this mitzvah, your reason for doing this mitzvah is because I have told you to do it. Zehu. I've told you to do it. Well, it sounds less romantic. It sounds less romantic. But really, really, it's not. Don't forget, the Maral was a Mekubal Naira. It was an awesome Mekubal. And the Maral was assuming that we were going to move on in our learning and to understand the Sharosh and the roots of these things. But the Maral's main concern is, really it is very romantic. And I was explaining this a little bit last week, because whenever there's a love that depends upon something, so the love hasn't been completely refined. There's still a love which is coming from the Seichel. That's what we learned last week when I mentioned that Maral from the Geruas Hashem. Emunah is infinitely more romantic and infinitely more passionate than understanding. Than intellectualizing. And the Maral's distaste for the intellectualization, despite the fact that he was a great intellect, his distaste for trying to understand why God wants me to do this. Why? Not once I have it for deepening and strengthening my connection to the mitzvah, but why do I have to do this? Why? Because God felt bad for the poor people, or God, and so on. So that concerned the Maral that instead of a Jew, instead of a Jew's mitzvahs coming mitzad Hashem, then they become humanly motivated, which is exactly what happened with Reform and Conservative Judaism.
Moral and Kiddushin, Tosfos gives all the shot for that, because it's psychological.
Right.
Because the greatest way to do mitzvahs, because it was mitzvah, it's you, not
Tosfos. That's it. That's the moral, right. That's mitzvah, right. That's the moral. And that, I mean, Chabad, that's a beginning. I mean, when Chabad Svarim, we were talking a little bit last week, Chabad, the Rebbe, all of a sudden, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Keseda, when you look at his Sichas, and Chabad Svarim, the Sichas, that's that derech of Avoida, that Avoida that comes from Emuna is infinitely greater than Avoida that comes from humanly motivated awareness. So really, it sounds less romantic, but the truth of the matter is, that if the care that I have for my children, why do I Why do I take good care of you? You know why? You're a good kid. You do well in school. You're a good kid. You do well in school. I mean, anybody that has above an 85 average, I'll take care of it. Anybody that's below an 85, so you're on your own. So the kid understands, it's very, you know, the point is, I have to succeed, I have to do well, and there's a reason for my father's love. The reason for my father's affection and care for me is that I'm a successful kid. So as long as the kid's getting above an 85, you know, so it looks good, because the kid's doing well and his father kisses and hugs him and takes care of him. But we know that that's a terribly pitiful thing. It's a very, very sad thing. Because that's not hava, which is depending on something which is external. It's not the kid. It's not the kid. I have this idea in my head to talk about Shabbos. I don't think I will, because I didn't really work it out. I didn't really think it out. But, you know, the whole inyan in the beginning of the parasha, that the Baruch Shalom, you know, he counts the Yidden. The Baruch Shalom is always counting Jews, right? The Baruch Shalom likes to count Jews. So, at the beginning of Bamidbar, he counts us again. So Rashi, of course, says over there that because he loves us, so he loves us like the stars, so he counts us. So you would say, L'chayra, you would say, that's interesting. It's interesting that the Baruch Shalom is counting, one, two, three, four, that every single Jew counts as one. He says, how does that really reveal the chiba of a person? Wouldn't you, Hashem's affection and feeling towards somebody? We know that we hate to be numbers. You and I, we hate to be just numbers, right? Adarabha, you completely lose your sense of individuality. You completely lose your unique contribution, you know, that I am and who I am and so on. Being numbered, that's how Hashem shows his affection. By saying 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10. That's how you show affection for someone. We didn't like it when you had, instead of having a name when you were in university and you just have a social security number or something, right? So what does that mean? That's mitaych chibasim. So I think I remember, I don't know where, but it could be it was taken a sikha from Lubavitcher Rebbe. But or maybe from his father or from the Rayats. I don't remember. But it's definitely it's somewhere in Chabad that the tzaddikim said, you know what? Hein hadvarim. Yeah. You know why?
No.
Zo. In other words, if I say Yankele, ooh-hoo, Yankele, can good learning. I love you, Yankele. You know how to learn Yankele? Because you're Yankele. You know why? Because Yankele has a certain personality and he has a certain smile and he has a certain way of going about doing things and a certain that's Yankele. And Sarala, ooh, Sarala, you know what? You're so sweet, Sarala. I love you, you're so sweet. So the Rebbe says, I think the Rebbe said, or his father-in-law said, that other Rebbe, then there would be a difference. This is a Talmud Chacham, this is an Amharis. This is a Tzaddik, this is a Rasha, right? But when the Baruch Shalom says to each and every Jew, you count as one. You count as one. You count as one. What he's saying, and saying that, he's turning to each and every Jew and he says, you know why I'm saying this? What does it mean, this is my love for you? I'm showing my love for you. Because you count to me, mitzad de nekudas ha'atzmius. You understand? Because of your existence, I love you. Not because you have this maila. In other words, the Baruch Shalom says, when the Baruch Shalom counted, I mean, it's hard to say. When the Baruch Shalom counts for Moshe Feinstein, and he counts Moshe Kapoya, you know, whatever, the butcher. So the Baruch Shalom says, one, two, three, four, zo. Not because of your milas, and because of this, and because of that, and not because of your chisrones, that you count as less. In other words, the fact that the Baruch Shalom counts everybody is one means that that your existence is not Hashem's love for you is not the result of something about your personality or something about how you are and who you are. Hashem's love for you is the result of your existence. Be'etzim, it's an ahava which is be'etzim, and an ahava be'etzim doesn't depend upon anything in the world. Therefore, even if, God forbid, you have a bad day, even if you have a lousy day, even if you do the worst affair in the world, you still know that the Baruch Shalom counts you. Mashiach Kain, if you tell Yankele, if you get above an 85, Yankele, ooh, but less than an 85, so Yankele knows that if I get less than 85, I don't count. I don't have meaning. I don't count. You see, our emunah in Hashem, Yediyah, Let's put it the other. Knowing something and understanding something and doing it because of some understanding and my own recognition, that is always limited to my level of haskalah. It's always limited to what I understand and what makes sense to me. But the moment that my understanding has become weakened or it's questioned, right? I had a boy today came to me. He's not from my class. He wanted to talk to me. He's a younger boy. So, I think a ninth grader. So he wanted to talk to me he said such an interesting thing. Such an interesting thing. And this boy, Nabuch, has a lot of Yisurim. Unspeakable suffering that he's been through with his family. And terrible sorrows. And he said to me that he's having a problem. I said, what's the problem? He says, Rabbi, the problem is that for the last 3 months, nothing bad has happened to me. I said, that's a problem? What do you mean? Was that a problem? So he says that when something bad is happening to me, I feel closer to Hashem. And now that things are going well, and somebody gave me some present, he said, I did well on the test, and things are going well. My father didn't do this or that to me for a while. So now I feel like, you know, I don't like have any connection to him. I don't know. So he said, so now maybe you could help me. He said to me, maybe could you give me some good proofs that God exists? Can you give me some good proofs of God? So first of all, I can't stop thinking about this. All day I had this on my head. That the only way that this kid could connect to Hashem is when he's getting beaten. Can you imagine? Then he feels that God is there somehow, rooting for him or something, you know? But when things are going well, so I was trying to talk to him about this inyan. I didn't say anything to the morale, of course, but I was just talking to him about I can get you one of these books. And if you want to go through a couple of, ontological proofs, historical proofs, we could do that stuff. You know, I'm sure everybody here has done that stuff. I don't know if Yosef, you had the misfortune of, don't waste your time. Most of us have already been through this stuff. Right? But yeah, so you know, this is, everybody has to go through something like this, and for certain kids, for certain people, they need it. But you know what the problem is? The problem is that after you've read, whether you've read proofs of God's existence in a Jewish book, or if you read Lahavdil, Augustine or Aquinas, which pretty much, they're very, very similar, right? If the religious philosophers of Lahavdil of the Goyim, after you've read these things, sof kol sof, it's you. It's not God. It's not because of God's existence that you believe in Him. Because why? It's because of this, and because of this, and because of this, and because of that. So the Ahava is always a Ahava, which is tluya, it depends upon a certain construct scientific construct or something else. When a person, the Emunah, when a person realizes that Emunah is something that comes from the Baruch Shalom Kivyachal, Emunah is something that comes because a Jew is a chelik elokami mal mamish. That's Emunah is not something, faith is not something which it depends upon Yankel getting an 85. It doesn't depend upon the Baruch Shalom being good to you or being bad, God forbid to you. God has ever been. It's not, doesn't depend upon how God treats you. This is the Metzius. This is who I am. And it's not a question of, how did this day go or this day didn't go. Therefore, those Jews who their emunah was not one that came as a result of all these muskalos, because when you have a proof, somebody comes along something that sounds more intelligent the other way, then that's it for the Baruch Shalom. He's out. He's gone. So the morale, this that we find so much in the Chassidish Svarim, so much in the Chassidish from this inyan, this is where the morale is coming from. Gzeirus HaMelech. And when the morale, as I mentioned to you, that the morale from Gurus Hashem, where the morale said that Ha'adam Hayudeya Dover Bahasagosa, that when a person knows something because of his intellectual perception of it, so that Yediyah is coming from the human being. Masha Enikain, when he believes in Hashem, that's coming from the Baruch Shalom. That awareness comes from the Baruch Shalom. And yet there are things we could do to strengthen our Emunah. We're going to talk about that a lot. Of course we could do things to strengthen our Emunah. But, and perhaps sometimes reading these philosophical things, for some people it might help them. but only when it's only when he's working with emunah and he's building and strengthening that emunah. And similarly, when teaching kids, so rebellion, you're teaching the boys when teaching the boys emunah. So also, the Ramchal is not coming from proofs. None of the Mekubalim are coming from proofs, ever. Correct? Never. They're never coming from this point. They're never coming from that point. And neither did Rabbi Yehuda Levi, right? Who opened that world up? The Kuzri. Not coming from that. Even though Kuzri, of course, talks about the historical evidence of the encounter with Hashem and so on by Har Sinai, but the pnimius of the Kuzri and Maharal. And of the Ramban, of all the Mekubalim, the Pnimius is Emunah, not Muskalos. Therefore, the boys need to understand that these are interesting things, and these are things that can strengthen your Emunah. But we need to focus upon Limudim, learning things that are going to reveal that Emunah to ourselves, and to add, all these things are beautiful. It's great, but why do you see in the Duras Achronim, in the later generations, we see that Moreh Nevuchim is not being learned, right? Moreh Nevuchim is not being learned. Maybe in universities, or there are, you know, tzaddikim that they, you know, so in Chernobyl and Square, the rebbes always have the Moreh Nevuchim, but it's locked, not allowed to, so. So, but yet we see that the Adarabba, that all the limudim that have been, as we get closer to Mashiach, all the teaching that is being referred to is being used. Adarabba, the teachings from the Vilna Gaon, Chaim Volozhin, the Talmud Baal Shem Tov, Ari HaKadosh, and so on, and the Balei Musar, which is also b'chlal not based upon the union of the Muskalos that are found in Moreh Nevuchim and so on. So we see that as we're getting closer to the end, that it's become clear that the source of a Jew's connection to Hashem is not what he understands. It's what he does and who he is. It's the etzem, it's the atzmius, it's the pnimius of who he is. And all of these svarim, meaning the Ramchal svarim and the Maral svarim and all the Talmidei Baal Shem and the Gra and all the Talmidei HaGra, all of those are only working with helping us to understand the Metzius. Not to prove the Metzius, but to understand the Metzius. All the Svarim are just, all the Kabbalah Svarim are to understand what is, not to prove that it is. Not to prove that it is. And that's something we see, that at this point, we don't find that there's any Yetzirah for Aristotelian philosophy. When you look in the Rishonim, it's like the same way the kids like are being drawn to videos and stuff. In those days, the greatest worry of a parent was that he's going to go study like, you know, Aristotle. Which now, you know, doesn't make a difference. No one's interested in Aristotle. Somebody has to spiel. A couple of people read it, and it's not something that has any hold over anybody. Because we're in the parish of Emunah now, not in the parish of this business. Because Bechlal doesn't, it's not Luget, it doesn't mean anything to us anymore. So I think that really this is where the moral's coming from. The moral's concern, it seems to me, the moral's concern is that we know, of course, the mitzvahs were given, the Torah was given for man, unquestionably. But what was given to man was the responsibility to be attached to the Creator. And the way that one is attached to the Creator is by observing these gzeiros that were decreed upon him. As far as the results are concerned, that's not your cheshbon. That's not your cheshbon. That will come, that will be. Right? Whether you feel it or you don't feel it, these are gzeiros HaMelech. And he is coming at the end of long period of time, at the end of the Middle Ages, right? At the end of the Rishonim, the Maral was coming after a long period of time where he felt that this was not the way Jews were being taught. And maybe we know that everything's a Hashgacha, so we know that the Rambam was a Kodesh Elyon, and we know that for his time period, if not for the Rambam, there wouldn't have been a Jew left, right? So the Rambam the Rambam was a Hashgacha, that he responded to the need of that generation. But it's clear that our generation doesn't need that anymore. Not God forbid, doesn't need the Rambam, Chas v'chalei. I mean, that philosophical Mahalach, our generation doesn't need it anymore. And even the Chavis Lavavis. So the Vilna Gaon said not to learn the Shari Yichud, not to learn the first, the philosophical section at the beginning. The Vilna Gaon says not to learn that. It's not the Gaon. It's not. What you think if we learn the Shayichit? So one of my boys in school heard that. There's one of the boys that he heard that you're not supposed to learn the Shayichit and Chavos Levavos. So he went right away. I don't know. By someone told this to him. So right away he went and he got the English Shayichit, the English Chavos Levavos to read the Shayichit. So I said, so tell me something. No, Taka became an apikaris from this, from the Shayichit. He says, no, I don't know. What's he talking about? I said, okay. What's he talking about? It's Bechlana Megetas. Bechlana, and he's a very bright boy. It's not the Bechlana Megay. It's not Megay. It doesn't affect us, doesn't change us. We don't think that way anymore. We're looking for Amunah. We're Mavakshe Amunah. And that's what the morale, that's why now the morale's being, everybody's gobbling up the morales everywhere. You can't get enough in the stores, right? Morale, Ramchal, Sfasemes, right? Everybody's running for this Svarmagadashim. They can't print them fast enough. Can't print them fast enough. The Svarmagadashim. Mechate, so why is that? Why is that? Because we're Mavakshe Amunah. From a Vakshe Amunah. I'm going to talk about this a little bit Shabbos afternoon. The Indian, where it says in Daniel, Yoiv Chachmasol HaKimin, that Hashem gives wisdom to the one who is wise. So then, what's the Pshat? Hashem gives wisdom to the one who is wise. I mean, where's the first wisdom come from? Right? To the one who is wise. So, that's Amunah. The first wisdom is Reishis Chachmias Hashem. Amunah. To the one who works on his Amunah, Hashem gives wisdom. But it's based upon Amunah. This is the aside of what we're learning. This is the aside of what we're learning. But we have to come out. Because the parak, this is not a typical parak of the Maral. It's unquestionably, it's complicated. It's like almost a pilpul in the Ramban. It is complicated. It's difficult. And it's a little bit painful because the Maral's like squeezing this Ramban. But this is the aside that we have to go home with. This is the aside. This is the main point that we have to take with us, this inyan of Amunah. Okay. On top after 84. Umizeh hatam ein loy megam ken ki Hashem isbaruch hayim rachem al kan siba gzeres shalei din ala adam. Vem gzeres hatmidi yeshu humanig behem olamo. Vem ev shalei me ki Hashem isbaruch hayim rachem al adam. So you might think that according to the Ramban, maybe it means what? That Hashem would have rachman, that Hashem has rachman, that he would agree with the Rambam. That what? That Hashem has pity on a poor person, lasa tzedakah, kachev shalom, because Hashem is baruch marachim ala balachayim. Listen, if you think that the reason that Hashem gave the mitzvah of tzedakah is he feels bad for poor people, then you might as well say that he gave us these mitzvahs with animals because he feels bad for animals. I mean, once you're talking about how God feels about things, so why stop at human beings? If you want to say God is really nice, he's really nice, he's the greatest, he's nicer than anybody, that would mean that he should be nice to animals too. Right? So he's only nice to a bird. What about the shachting and so on? So once you're getting to this inyan, you're getting to this parsha of how nice Hashem is. So then he says that's the end of the mitzvah. That's not why Hashem gave the mitzvah, because Hashem is merachim. Raki a mitzvah gzeira leinu. It's a decree. V'lohibit Hashem is baruch. Masha makabel chofitz rotz. It has nothing to do with what man wants, what man feels, how you relate to this mitzvah. Nothing to do with that. Raka kol gzeira leinu. That's the point. It's a decree, and by doing it, you will be godlike, and being godlike includes being compassionate and so on. So we see this in the creation world. Now here the morale is on an extra nakuda. We see this from creation. Everything that Hashem created is good. It says everywhere in Bereishis. Hashem saw everything he created and it's very good. So good. We don't say that the purpose of creation was to be good to the world. Rak b'gezeres had din nivra. This also was something that is, even though it says in the Svarim, and even in the Kisvei Ari, we have explanations that Hakadosh Baruch was to be mative to that it should be good for the greatest good is being like Hashem and so on. But the Maral says if you look carefully in Bereishis, you'll see k'dichsiv b'chol ma'aseh Bereishis throughout the entire story of creation, which name of Hashem is being used? Shem Elokim, and Elokim always means. It's not a question of how God feels, but it's a question of din. It's a gzeir, it's a decree. And that's why throughout creation, we're not talking about why did God do this? Where does this, why? Why does he, that's not the point, the Maral says. The point is that Hashem decreed that there be a world, and he decreed that the world act in the following way. That's why the name Elokim, which is din, is being used throughout creation. Even though, of course, all the ways of the Torah are pleasant, and Hashem, of course, everything is pleasant. The Torah was given to the world. The Gzeiras Din. He makes a very interesting observation in footnote 91. Doik Vatiri says, take a look and see. Sha'afal Pisha Torah Nikus Bechal Makam Shem Rachmana. Right in the Gemara, the Torah is always called what? Rachmana. And Hashem is also called Rachmana, right? Hashem Brich Rachmana, right? So the Torah is called Rachmana, which means compassionate. Im Kolza V'Negela Amiris Mitzvaseha Amr Chacham Anoichiv La Yilcha Mipi Hagvura Shemanum. Whenever it talks about Hashem giving over mitzvahs, it uses the word what? We heard, this is perfect for Shavuos, we heard Anochi and Lo Yilecha, Ha'am Hashem and there shall be no other gods. Where do we hear it? It says, when it talks about, it doesn't say Hashem as Rachmana, or the Torah as Rachmana, it says Mipi HaGvura. One of the ways that Hashem is referred to is Gvura, which is Din, which is a Gzer, which is a decree. Yitzchak. Fahim Hemadvarm. Ureila Holland Paraglamia Pegmem. Vachidisha Bedvarvu. It says in the Medrash that Hashem looked into the Torah and He created the world. And the Pashas of that is, and the simple meaning of that is, that the details of all of creation are in accordance to the Torah. But we really can understand this on a deeper level. Even the way that the world was created, makbil hu life in the sinas Torah, the same way that the Torah was given with din, and we heard it mipi agvur, and it's a decree from the king. So the world, so the pnimius is the, that's exactly it. Olam machshava livas olam b'midas hadin means that olam machshava, that place of olam machshava means.
That sounds like it's saying that
b'mitzias
in the world we live, it's
chesed, it's rachamim. Because so that human beings should be able to survive, we should be able to exist, and we should be able to have. And so on. But as far as our talking about what motivated the Creator, so we say, don't, what are you talking about? Olav Machshava, you have no business going to that room. That room has on the door Olav Machshava. And Olav, that means the divine thought. And the divine thought is what? Is Elokim. Elokim means what? Din. Which for all practical purposes means the door is locked.
So doesn't mean we say that Hashem created us like the one.
Okay. So again, there's no question that the purpose of creation is not for God, it's for man. There's no question. And that's what that Ariyakosh is talking about. What you're talking about is found in the beginning of Eitz Chaim. That there's no question that the purpose of creation is that there should be a world. And as far as that's concerned, all this Lashon Lahetiv La'adam, that man should be able to experience the greatest good, what the Ramchal talks about, which is what? Which is to be like God, which is to be Dovuk Bashan. Right.
It's through the medium of din.
Correct.
That we can resolve.
That's the only way you could do it. That's the only way you could do it. Mm-hmm. Because as far as anything, you see, if I connect to that world after Olav Machshava, to that world that's called Rachmim, that's very sweet and it's lovely, but that's not going to get me to that greatest and the highest good. The highest good I could only reach when I'm mizdabik to Olav Machshava, mm-hmm. to what came to the God's reason for creating the world, which we don't know. Olav Machshava is Elokim, which means din. So there's something even beyond. In other words, at the beginning of Eitz Chaim, what you're talking about in Eitz Chaim, where Rabbi Chaim Vital says from Ari that the Rebbe Shalom created the world to be good, so at the beginning, at the very beginning, so Rabbi Chaim Vital says that makes it clear that even the Ari HaKadosh, even the Rebbe, never spoke about anything above the spheres, right? Never spoke about, in other words, we're only talking about from a certain point and downward. We're not talking about anything of the essence. All of Kabbalah.
So we always see on Svarim a lot that we're trying to get back to the Nekuda of Anam HaRishon and back to the Nekuda of Manav HaSinai. That's the same idea, getting back.
Which is Mipi
HaGvura. Right.
And the way to do that is not, gee, I feel so good about this mitzvah. Again, that's great if you do, right. But
it's not
sufficient. No. When you are Oyved Hashem in a Tmimis Dika way, and therefore the biggest tzaddikim, and they knew all the fancy svaras and all the tyrus mer, but when they do the mitzvahs, it's the most beautiful thing is how they did it in such pashtus and sweetness and in such a simple way, like a little kid, right? And because the dveikus to Hashem is exactly what you're saying, Adam Kodem Achayit Mipi HaGavura, the name Elokim, that name which we find frightening right now because we're so frail and fragile, so we need the midas harachamim, you know, Rachmana. Rahman al-Islam, right? You say Rahman al-Islam. So, men would rather relate. You see, it's interesting because conservative Reform Judaism picked up on the Rachmana, Brich Rachmana. They wanted that Rachmana, but they didn't want the din, right? They didn't want the din. Christianity views Judaism as being a religion that's completely Elokim and din. And then you have all these Jews that are trying to make excuses. But what we're saying is, you're 100% right. Halavai, we should be zeiche to really fulfill the highest level of din. But the way that they interpret it is of an ahapechu. Their interpretation of that, that God, the God of the Jews, is cruel and demanding, and their God teaches to turn the other cheek and so on. Lechatchila, that a human being should be able to exist in the midas adin, to be on that level, that's Adam Kaidam Achayit. And the issue here is not how do you feel, but who are you? Who are you? What do you do? Who are you? Not how do you feel. That's the issue. And this is so much, you see this so much nowadays. And you know what, you see that there's so much rishus coming from this business of how do you feel. So much rishus comes from it. So much evil. So much evil is coming from it. And I mentioned this I was talking to the women in Halachish here through the night about certain inyanim. So I mentioned that that there was a woman that came to, did I tell this to you about this woman that came to Rav Soloveitchik, that she wanted to put on a talis? I told this. So a woman came to Rav Soloveitchik, this was his mishpacha told over the Meiser, Soloveitchik's family, that I think Rav Meiselman told, if I'm not mistaken. There's a woman came to Rav Soloveitchik that she's looking for, she always sees the talis as something that's very, very inspiring, and she would want, you know, she wants her. So they told her that Rav Soloveitchik understands all these things, talk to Rav Soloveitchik. So Rav Yoshe Beis said to her, you know what, it's a very chashuva thing, but you know, you need to gradually get into the mitzvah. So the Rav said to her, first just wear a talis without tzitzis. Not tzitzis, just a talis. Don't have the tzitzis put on, just the beged. And you know, let's see how that works for a couple of weeks, and come back in 2 weeks. So she comes back in 2 weeks, and the Rav said, no, how is it? She starts to get poetic. Rebbe, you wouldn't believe it. I'm just like, every time I, you know, how I feel and what it does for me, and I'm inspired, and just like put it over me. And I write. So Rabbi Yoshe Beis says, oh, you know, this is, without tzitzis, it's no different putting on a blanket or putting on a towel. It's absolutely no different. You might as well put on a blanket or wrap yourself in a towel. Without tzitzis, it's mengulnish. He says, nothing from nothing. What you're feeling high about, he said, young lady, is yourself. That's all, not God. Yes? The pichus, the brilliance of the Eitzah. What an Eitzah, what an unbelievable thing. What an idea. He says, you think you're feeling closer to God? No, you know what you're feeling? Better than the rest of your girlfriends. That's all. That's what he told her. Better than the rest of the girls. You feel like a guy. That's what makes you feel a certain way. You think that you're feeling inspired because you're feeling closer to God? What was Rabbi Yoshe Beis saying? He was saying there's one way to get closer to God. You know what that is? When you're mechuyev in a mitzvah, and this is the Messiah of Klal Yisrael, and you put on tzitzis, and you wear it again. That's not the point, how you feel. That's not the point. And if you ever learned Isha Halacha, you see Rabbi Yoshe Beis and the influence of Chabad, you know, I don't have to even say what that was in Rabbi Yoshe Beis's life. I mean, He was nursed with Lukutei Torah and Tanya. You know, he was mamish in his blood. Yeah, okay. Not such big trouble. His father.
He loved him.
Yeah. The father was upset with him, but he himself he has tremendous. He looked back with that and that, and not only that, but he never, the Lukutei Torah didn't leave his table. Lukutei Torah from the Tanya didn't leave his table, especially from Elul. Tilshmini Atzeres, Lukutei Torah. I heard this from his son-in-law. Didn't leave his table. He says the pages of his Lukutei. His son-in-law told me, the Rabbi Twersky of Shalom, that the pages of Rabbi Yoshe Beis Lukutei Torah were soaked with tears. Were now, this is not what they say in yeshiva. This, that part, right? That's what he said. Nobody wants to know my heart. They just want to know my mind. That's why he tried to give a shiur in Lukutei Torah in Boston, and the guys like they're asking kashes and this and that. And he said, he said, and the son-in-law told me that he wrote back to him. He says that all they want is my mind. They don't want my heart. So he did it for like 3 weeks. and he saw that it wasn't going, he stopped teaching Lukutei Torah. Can you imagine? He was giving a shiur in Lukutei Torah in Elul in Boston from the Baal Tanya. Lukutei Torah. Wow. Imagine that. What I would give to be at such a shiur. But he said this is what they make. They thought like they want to hear the svara. I'm trying to give them the Rebbeinu Shalom. That's what he was saying. I'm trying to share the Rebbeinu Shalom. My Rebbeinu Shalom, my connection to Hashem is Baruch with the boys. And they think that they're living a taisus with me. So the son told me, he just stopped. He went back to the regular shiur. He didn't do it. No. So when he said, you know, you feel good about the talis? He says, no, you're deluding it. There's a delusion. This whole thing is a delusion. Bechlal is a delusion. The whole Indian, this whole sugya with the women and this and that, and happened to Maisa this week, they were talking. There was a whole thing that a woman became, that I don't know if it's exactly a rabbi, but they gave it, my kids in school told me it was on television, the whole big thing. No. So all of this is Tom's coming, what? From a delusion. The point of Torah is to be able to adjust myself to fit into the Torah, not to make the Torah fit into me. And all of these people, they're very nice people, they're sweet, and Hashem should take good care of them. Their point is, I want to feel good about the Torah. I want to feel more about the Torah. So therefore, I can take upon myself to create new customs, new minhagim, new hanhagas within Klal Yisrael, so that it will make me feel equal or better or whatever it might be. This is what the Maharal is worried about. This is exactly what we're talking about. It's very, very relevant, everything that's happening. This is normal. It's Gzeiras HaMelech. And that's what Rabbi Yosef was telling that lady. With tzitzis, it's a talis. Without tzitzis, it's a blanket. It means nothing. It looks so nice to you, like, you know, you walked out in the forest and it was blowing in the wind and you had the talis over your hair and you felt like, like Moses or something. An Irish guy.
He was thinking about, the lonely man of faith. Like, I guess in contrast to this expression of the ropes, feeling for the Kutei Torah, it's like interesting.
Adam number two.
Well,
that's Adam, that was
the whole idea of
it was all about himself. The whole Lonely Man of Faith is autobiographical.
Right.
So I mean, that's all it was.
Right, it's like I think my understanding, the man here is striving to be like for the existential, like beyond this world, and like the Kutei Torah, if anything, is bringing that like here.
Absolutely, 100%. 100%. When you read,
the same person,
it's hard to believe. But he was complicated.
Right.
He was a complicated person. I mean that Lamal Yusa. I don't mean that in a negative way.
Right.
I mean, wow. It's hard to believe. You know, look, the Lonely Man of Faith and the Halachic Man. Just the titles. Did you ever hear such a thing in your life? The Lonely Man of Faith and the Halachic Man, Isha Halacha and Isha Ha'amun Ha'baydei, and that they were all rolled up into that amazing person. We haven't even started to understand what he was and what was going on inside of that person. Was something was a pella. It was a pella. That's why, of course, misunderstood and so on.
But it's also confusing for us. I mean, more about a niggun. You get his auras from a niggun. I mean, it could be that you're just happy with yourself. You're sitting with the chassidim. You're the American guy with the hat, and you're jumping around with all the chassidim, and
look, there are a lot of ma'isim about you. I'm not going to start wasting time with my. That's not wasting time, but to go into ma'isalach. Look. The emes is, it's a better yetzahara than other yetzaharas. Let's say that it's not completely pure and holy. Let's say that there's a cheshbon that like the way that the guy shuckles the first time he davens in a gartel, right? Or the first time he's got his new bekisha, and he's walking to shul and everybody's looking, at that, and he's got that look, and he stands there and then he starts to he sits down, he has already like a rebbesha, he has his hand on his forehead. It's got like a rubbish, So, is there anything there? Is there anything? Look, what's that person? He's impersonating somebody. He's a little bit of a monkey. We all are, right? Every one of us. But when you impersonate Kedusha, there's something to be said for it. Even though, certainly, we would say Mitoshla Shalay Lishma Bol Lishma. I Lachard is a stira. The Gemara says in Pesachim, Mitoshaloi Lishma, Ba Lishma, right? That even though your intention is not entirely sincere, it'll bring you to that sincerity. But in Brachas, it says that someone does, if you do something in Shaloi Lishma, it's Noyach Le Shaloi Nivra. It's better you shouldn't have been created, right? So it's a steer. So the Netziv said that it's not a steer. The Netziv said that the Gemara in Pesachim that says Mitashalosh Marbalishma is when I'm doing things that the tzaddikim have always been doing, that other tzaddikim have been doing, and when I'm learning over their Torahs, when I'm singing those nigunim, I'm putting on those levushim. But these are things that are already way before you. So they've already made their inroads into the world of kedusha. They're there. These are already devarim shebekedusha. So even though it's shelo lishma, even though my intentions might not be entirely pure, but by doing these things, ultimately, eventually, I believe in them. Eventually, because why? Because in the etzim, they're true. So the truth of these acts eventually take hold of my neshama, which is looking for the truth. Eventually. But the Gemara Brachas, it says it's better that you wouldn't have been created. You know what that's talking about? When I make up my own new things. Right? Like the lady with the talus. To make up something new, the Netziv says, then it's noach l'shel nivra. Because why? Because your whole thing is shelo lishma. Your whole thing is sheker. If at least, even though it could be that your motivation is sheker, but what you're doing is true, then what happens is matzah min ismino. Then the truth of your neshama, that your neshama is seeking, what? Finds comfort in the truth of that act, which is a true act, which has a hanaga, whether it's a gatel, whether it's a tzaddikim, or whatever it is that you like. But it's something, whether it's from the groh, it's from the Baal Shem, that's not the point. Mm-hmm. It comes from kedusha. So when you're doing that, matzah min ismino, that means that your holy neshama, your truthful neshama, meets up with something which is true, and the shidduch will eventually lead to something good. Just like many of us guys, that if we wouldn't marry such wonderful women, there wouldn't be much hope for us. And Bez Hashem, all the fellas, everything should be Bez Hashem, b'shatav m'sach. But then what? Because why? Because the emes, you really want to be a tzaddik. You really want to be a tzaddik. So then, if you marry a tzaddikus, so what happens is that who you really, even though you're a little bit faking that you're a tzaddik, right? And you're saying the right things to the girl because you want it to be impressive. You say like, you know, a little bit yeshivas, a little bit chassidus, you know. You make it like, try to put together a nice package, and you want to look also like you're very deep and like, you know, you're thinking about stuff. Good. But the emes is really, really in pnimius, that's really, really what you want. I, right now, it's not 100%, there's a little bit shalei lishma, there's a lot shalei lishma, but when you marry, and it's a zivig, so then what? So then it's more era that the emes, it becomes a part of your life, it becomes something which is real, because you're not creating something yesh me'ayin. Masha'enikin, somebody who's mechadesh, nu min hagim, when you make something new that wasn't, right? Even if it's something, you know, I don't want to alienate people, because people listen to these, you know, I don't know who, somebody in Texas, I hear, you know, I get calls from people that they listen to the tape, I don't know how it gets to them, but I don't want somebody to be
able... I wrote in Australia last summer.
Oh, in Australia, so then it really got all the way to, almost the other side of the world. So I'm afraid to alienate people, but you see, even something as simple, and I don't mean this to hurt anybody, even someone, they started making the multicolored talus, I mamish can't look at it. Because it's not coming mitzad HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's coming mitzad the Adam. You understand this, Marab? What? Because I like the colors. Okay, but listen, Rabbi Yid, you're very special. But you know something? For a long time, everybody's wearing this kind of a talus. If Sfaradi, it could be all white, because the Sfaradim have a Kabbalah that should be all white, right? Ashkenazim wear like this. So what are you making this? What is this?
What does Hiddur Mitzvah mean by talus?
It means in the mitzvah, in those shittas of the poskim, that are shittas that the Klai Yisrael has accepted. Those are hidurim. I could be and that's even Shlei Lashma, I can make hidurim. But I also tell people
is
some of
the...
Some
thing that people on their necks there?
What? Okay, so you know that there were those that held not. There were those who held that's not. There are different shittas whether or not the Tanya was very much against that. He held it's not a hidden mitzvah. Okay, there are different shittas about that. But yeshoimim v'yeshoimim. Okay, but like for instance, so somebody came to ask me about he wants to get the tchelus. He wants to get the tchelus, the blue for the scissors. So he wants to know what do I think. So I say, you know what you're asking me? Listen, I'm not a redzina. I'm not a breslover. Rabbi Nachman said that before Mashiach comes, that's why the Breslovers were excited, because Rabbi Nachman said before Mashiach comes, we're going to find the tchelus. So, when it came to the Beis HaLevi, so the Beis HaLevi said, it's not because... this guy asked me, what's wrong if I do it? Can it hurt? So when they asked that of the Beis HaLevi said, it's not the Messiah. That could hurt. It's not the blue that could hurt. What could hurt is that you're making a decision to break with the Mesorah and to do something different. Whenever you try to do something that's not well-based and grounded, in the hanhogas of Klal Yisrael over the generations, then what happens is you're entering into that dangerous twilight zone of Noach Lo Shaloi Nivra. Then the question is, are you doing this completely with the Shema? So I would also like to wear Tchelis, because I'm thinking, you know, maybe it's Taki something. Something, why shouldn't I get the Tchelis? And I went through this thing, but I was thinking about this a lot. I went through a lot. I went through the Rezina Swarm, and then I've heard Sagan or what. I went through a lot. But then I said the bottom line is that this is not what my Zaydi did. And then if I'm going to do it, so Baruch is going to say, Weinberger, is this really, really, this is like Lashma, or you just think this is cool? And I say, no, the truth is it's cool. What am I going to do? It's not Lashma. I don't have, what about, I'm so Mahadu in every mitzvah that we all, like in Kriyashma. Why can't I be more Mahadu in Kriyashma? Why can't I be more careful how I daven? Why can't I be more careful with mitzvahs that are Yiduas, Vigluyas, Lona, Lukol, Yisrael? Davka, I have to wear Tchelis. If I'm a Rezina Chosid, I can't say that, right? Say that the Rezinas have a Kabbalah from the Rezinas. So I'm not saying that, but I'm not a Rezina Chosid. They don't have the real one, I know. Okay, so if I'm a Rezina, then I understand that that's right, because the Rebbe said, so I do what the Rebbe said. Genti. They're not cautious. And if I would see a Rezina doesn't wear the Tchelis, I would say, what's the matter with you? You're not a Chosid, the Rezina said to wear Tchelis, you have to wear Tchelis. Abrestly, maybe you could say that Rabbi Nachman said such a thing, but for us, what am I saying? It didn't work. What am I going to do, man? I am awesome. What's the point, right? That's the problem here. I mean, and this is really what the morale is addressing over here. Now, what he goes into, it's very late, so we're gonna stop here. We just really need to go. We really need to spend in 2 weeks. And he goes into a medrash here. He goes into a very interesting gadata. And it will take us to finish really 10 minutes, but it's important that the other chaver hear the end, because it sort of ties it all together. And then we'll, Bez Hashem, but that's not going to be next week, so maybe you'll tell.